Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's Bite Size episode is going back to one that was recorded in November 23, and it's with Lindsay. From a personal viewpoint here, it's so lovely to look back at all these episodes because in this episode with Lindsay, I joke with her, because she's a runner, that I don't run and that I would love to do it. Well, that was November 23. Well, by September 24, not only had I taught myself to run, but I was running my first 10K in London. So it's a really nice little look back over how my life has changed in sobriety. I love Lindsay's take on it. I love her beautiful Welsh accent as she talks about overthinking, how her physical well-being has altered, and how in sobriety she's gained confidence. I hope you enjoy it. Hearing you talk about the ups and downs and the mundane and the only thing I don't do is run.
Yeah.
You put me to shame, but I love watching you running.
Yeah. I was never that good at it before, believe it or not. That's one of my big things. I love it, but I never really committed to it before because I was never sober enough. You know, I was always hung on the weekends. Like now, I would never have done a half marathon. I wouldn't have had the time to, like, my long run training is always on a Sunday morning. And if you'd said to me 2 years ago, get up and run 20 kilometres on a Sunday morning, I'd have been like, yeah, nah. But even my husband said, we were chatting yesterday about, and I said, oh, I've got to think of three things that has changed. And the first thing he said was, well, you'd have never got up for park run. And that's a 5K. I mean, that's an easy morning for us now. And it's routine for us now. And our closest park run is about a 25-minute drive away. So we've got to be up and ready and out of the house by about 8:10 on a Saturday morning. Again, years ago. And I've always wanted to do park run, but I never, ever did, because more often than not, I'd be hungover on a Saturday morning. You know?
I know, it's mad, isn't it? So yeah. What was your drinking like then? Were you like a weekend drinker?
Yes, an absolute, like a grey area drinker. And that was a term I learned after I got sober. I never really thought it was an issue. I'd never planned to stop. I didn't think it was a problem. I didn't really. And until I've stepped away from it, I realise now how problematic my drinking was. And I wasn't physically dependent on it, but I had a chat. I was doing a course as part of my job with the local drug and alcohol support agency, Barod, which is Ready in Welsh, ironically. And they do lots of work in Wales. And I was doing a course with them, can't remember what it was, but for work. And I was chatting to the gentleman who was running the course. And he said, well, you don't sound like you were physically dependent on alcohol. And I said, oh, not by any means. And he said, but you certainly sound like you were psychologically dependent on it. He said that, and it was like the penny dropped. And I was like, do you know what? I think he's right. I genuinely believed that everything was better if alcohol was involved. I genuinely believed that. But I didn't realise that until I've come away from it.
And I don't think you're alone in that.
Well, it's a societal thing, isn't it? It's promoted. Christmas is better with alcohol. Weddings are better with alcohol. Nights out are better with alcohol. Friendships, relationships, they're all better with alcohol, when in fact, no, they're not. Like, it just does so much damage. And I think until you're on the other side of the fence, you just don't see it.
So what was it that led you to think, I'm going to stop drinking? Was it just that you went for a break?
No, I had never planned it. I'd never planned to stop. It was one night out. One night out with my husband, and I always let it go more, shall I say, when I was out with him, because I always trusted that he would get me home. And the fact that I had to plan that, like now I'm like, can I swear? I mean,
yeah, you could.
That's really fucked up that, oh, I can drink even more tonight because I'm with Matthew and I know that he'll get me home. But then I know when we went out together, we would always drink more than we both normally would. But me more so. And it was a super Saturday, we call it in Wales, where there was the last Six Nations Day and loads of games on. So we were drinking probably from about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was no breaks on, no worry about, am I going to get home tonight? You know, am I going to be okay? There was none of that. Because I've been thinking to myself about, I'm going to digress a little bit. Going out, I would always have a little bit of kind of excited anxiety. Like, oh, what's tonight going to be like? I'm so looking forward to having a drink. I can't wait to get drunk with the girls. And then in the back of my head, it was always like, oh, are you going to be a dickhead though? Is something going to happen where you cross that line? It was always that, but it was almost like a challenge to myself. Can I go out and get absolutely blot up and not be a dick? And I didn't like getting blackout drunk. I didn't like it. Like, obviously, you didn't like it the next day if you'd forgotten where you'd gone or what you'd said or what you'd done. I didn't like getting like that. But I always remember feeling like if I got home and I was remotely sober, being like, oh, that was a shit night. Yeah, it was such a like thin line between merrily drunk was, to me, merrily drunk was shit. Anyway, I digress. Where did I get to? So yeah, we're out in Swansea. We booked a hotel room, and it was a yearly thing we did with kind of Matthew's school friends and couples. And by 7:30, I was gone. And the only reason I know I was gone because there were photos on my phone that I can't even remember taking. Apparently, I was falling over. I bumped my head and can't remember any of it. Can't remember where I was. And just behaving in a way that just, if I had looked at me behaving the way I behaved, I'd have been like, what are you doing? Absolutely disgusting. Like, and I think for me, like the next morning, obviously, you've got the physical impact of withdrawing from that amount of booze, the shame, the regret. And I think I just remember it was a beautiful Sunday. We had to drive home, pick Toby up from, I think he was with my mum or with Matthew's mum, I can't remember. And it was a beautiful February Sunday, blue sky, you know, those crisp spring kind of coming mornings.
Yeah.
And I lay on the couch all day and something was like, he deserves better than this. Toby deserves better than this. Like, this is awful. And he would have been five. I think he'd have been five then. And I thought, I can't, it's not fair on him. It's not fair on me. It's not fair on Matthew. Like, he doesn't want a wife who goes out and gets shit faced and performs like some sort of idiot. And I think the shame that after that night was just crippling. And it was just like that. It was like a switch went. And I think, I don't know, I'd never felt like that before. I'd always had the shame and the anxiety, but something about that night was just, oh my God, like the feeling now, I get anxiety about it now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the shame of my behavior and the falling over and, oh, just terrible. And something clicked. And I think, but once I got over the physical withdrawal, I kind of just immersed myself in information. And I'd never done that before. I'd never wanted to. In fact, I remember saying to my brother, I'm done, like, I'm not drinking anymore. And he turned around and he said to me, oh, it's not the first time I've heard that. And I was like, no, you're wrong. Because it didn't matter how hangover I was before. I couldn't wait till the next sesh. I couldn't wait till the next sesh. And often, if my hangover cleared up quick enough, I'd be happy to go on another sesh like that day. You know, by
Yeah.
4 o'clock, if I'd come round a bit, I'd be. So I had never been one of those people who was so hangover. I'd said, oh, I'm never drinking again. I would never, ever say that because I loved it. I loved the feeling of it. I loved the build up to it. But I don't know what clicked. I don't know. I really can't. It was just that shame in the morning. And I thought that this isn't, something's not right here. And yeah, over the next few weeks, I just kind of found all these accounts on Instagram I didn't even know were there. And I watched loads of stuff on YouTube and started reading books. And I was like, what the fuck have I been doing for the last 25 years of my life? What have I been doing? And like, something clicked to me and never looked back. Best thing I've ever done.
And you were recommending books as well.
Yeah.
You were chatting on Instagram and you recommended some books that I then went on and read. And one of them was where you had to write a breakup letter with alcohol. Do you remember that
Yeah.
one?
Love Yourself Sober.
That was it.
Kate Bailey and Mandy Manners.
That's it. Kate Bailey and
Yeah.
Mandy Manners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember writing that letter. I was sat in bed when I did that exercise. And it just, you know, you'd start writing and it came out. Da, 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 da. And then I read it back to my husband and I broke down. Like, I broke down crying and I was like, what the hell is this? And I'm quite emotional. But when I was writing it, I didn't feel emotional. But then when I read it back and I was like, what? I just don't think you can appreciate the impact it has on you drinking until you actually step away from it.
Yeah. I remember one of the lines in yours, because it just, I still hear it now in your beautiful accent, but alcohol, you're a bit of a shit.
You're led to believe that it does all these wonderful things for you, but it's so damaging. It's so damaging. And I mean, I do consider myself, and I do feel like a bit of a fraud sometimes. And I don't know if that's the impact of maybe, I kind of lost my other account due to somebody being quite not very nice, because do I deserve to get any recognition for being sober because I wasn't physically dependent?
I think you absolutely do, and I'm going to jump in there. Even if you're a weekend drinker, that's what I aspired to be. Alcohol
Definitely.
is a slippery slope, and if you're identifying that you're emotionally, psychologically dependent on it, I mean, I could look at some drinkers and say, well, you weren't as bad as that. So should I be, should I be saying that I'm really chuffed that I've stopped, and I think I deserve a bloody medal for walking away from an alcohol industry that is everywhere. I think we're similar ages. I think you're a bit younger than me. Actively targeted us with Ladette culture, with various things. And it's actively targeting mums. Alcohol executives are sat round planning pink prosecco, and let's make gin really attractive. If you go back in the centuries, wasn't there that drawing? I don't know
Mother's
much about it.
Ruin.
Mother's
Mother's
Ruin.
Ruin. Yeah.
And my mum always used to say to me, don't touch spirits. And I never liked them. I tried them a few times because gin was getting popular.
Yeah.
But she would say to me, it's mother's ruin.
Yeah.
And I've since seen that image, that picture, and where
Yeah.
that originated. Well, how has it gone from mother's ruin to, oh, you've got to have a gin palace
Yeah.
at your wedding or whatever it is?
It blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind how this substance. Sometimes these words come out of my mouth, like, because 2 years ago I would never have said these things, but how is this substance even still legal? Because it is so dangerous. And I think, I mean, a massive turning point. I like facts and I like figures and I like science. And I read Alcohol Explained by William Porter. And I can remember lying in bed and like nudging my husband. And I mean, he's not sober. He's not a big drinker. He's not a big drinker at all. And I mean, he'd probably go out and get drunk twice a year, if that. And I recognize now that I was the pusher in the relationship. I'd say to him, I'd be like, if we'd had a stressful week in work, and I'd say, oh, should we have a few drinks tonight? And he'd be like, oh, here she goes. And by 10 o'clock, Toby would be in bed. 10 o'clock, the shots be out in our house. That'd be me. What are you doing? Like, anyway, I digress again. But I was nudging him in bed, going, look at this, Mark. Look at this is why this happens. This is why, just mind blown. Mind blown. Like, how are we allowed to do this? How is it promoted that we do these things for ourselves?
And you again introduced me to William Porter's book, I think. Either that or you were reading it, but we had a conversation about it, didn't we, on Messenger? I read the second book. He's written two. I read the second
Yes,
book
I
before
haven't
the
read the second
first.
one. Right, okay.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're absolutely
Yeah, I
brilliant. I
need
also
to.
read Professor David Nutt as well. He
Yes, these are books I need to get my hands on.
it, anything to strengthen that understanding, because I know I talk about my messy start to my sobriety, because I'm now in that anniversary of Louisa wants to be sober. Louisa's reading all the books and she's following all the accounts and she's doing day one again and again and again. I was very much doing this out of my own gut instinct. Like you had that day, that gut instinct, you go, God, I've got to do something. I think as a mother, you go, right. And that's no judgment to mothers who drink either, but I just
No,
think you go, oh my goodness. But,
definitely.
so I think there's personal responsibility, but there's also understanding we're in a bigger environment of and a culture of promoting alcohol. So well done to us. Long rambling way of saying, absolutely, yes, you should be so proud.
Yeah, thank you. I'm learning to kind of, and so I think something that I've learned to have to do is stand up for myself. Remove kind of toxic people as something I've learned to do over the last 2 years, which probably I don't know if I'd have done it if I was still drinking, because I think I was afraid that if I moved away from people who were not very nice to me, I wouldn't have anyone. But then I look back, they were probably people I drank with quite a lot. They were reliable drinkers. So I know I'd pop round someone's house or give them a ring. Do you want to fancy a pint? If I was feeling like I needed it, and it was a good excuse then, it wasn't me. looking for it on my own sort of thing. I don't know what it, I don't know what how alcohol has impacted that, but I have walked away from some relationships, friendships now that weren't serving me anymore. And it sounds really selfish, but they were making me unwell.
And I
So,
think life delivers that to you, particularly
yeah.
when you're, because do you mind me asking how old you are?
No, 42.
I think you get to your 40s, don't you? And there is something in you, because I've done that as well. And it's not just been about drinking, but it is again, you reassess and you go, look, that's drama. And I'm not interested in drama. So I'm going to remove myself from that. I'm not even going to entertain involving myself in any of this, particularly when you take alcohol out of the equation. We had drinking buddies.
I think sobriety just gives you clarity and kind of step back and go, yeah, I don't need that. If I don't need booze, I definitely don't need shit like that in my life. So I think it just gives you a strength you perhaps didn't. I certainly, it's given me a lot of sort of strength I didn't realize I had.
If you'd like to listen to the whole episode, then head back to the 14th of November 23, episode 8 with Lindsay. And just to remind you, if you head to my website, louisaevans.com, you will find the Sober Resilience course, where you can use code RESILIENCE544 to get a massive 30% off. You'll also find a range of hypnosis recordings on so many subjects, from confidence boosting through to enjoying exercise or finding weight loss easy, alongside ones to support your sobriety. If you use the code SOBERREBEL, all one word, you'll be able to buy one, get one free on all of those recordings. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests over this last couple of years for their openness and honesty. And the podcast will be back in its regular fortnightly slot very shortly. Have a great day.